First off, find Habakkuk, second chapter of Habakkuk. But since it's such a small book and can be easily overlooked, I'll let you look for it right now. So we probably won't go to that until the very end. But find the second chapter of
Habakkuk
and put a marker there, and then go to Romans 1. We're going to spend most of our time in the Gospel of Matthew. I didn't have time to really work on this, so you're going to get it in bits and pieces. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For the righteousness of God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that just shall live by faith comes from Habakkuk 2. And we're going to go back to that at the very end of this message. I like to check out the Greek on these things. And I did so here, where it says the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is revealed out of faith into faith. Mm-hmm. It's out of into, but it's from faith to faith to faith to faith. Different levels of faith. You were talking about different levels this morning in something, weren't you? So we're going to look at some scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew about faith. And see some of the various levels of faith. I took my concordance and just, listed them straight down as they're listed in the concordance. And so I haven't rearranged them in any way to try to show the steps. To do that, we'd have to flip-flop some of them. Okay, but the first one's going to be in the 8th chapter, and this has to do with the centurion that came to Jesus and asked him to heal his son, his boy. In verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He calls the centurion's faith a great faith, and he hadn't seen that kind of faith anywhere in Israel. But the faith was, Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "No, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but speak the word only. I know authority. I'm a man under authority, and I know you have that authority." And it's in the submission to the authority of Christ, because Israel had not done that. And that was a great faith. But the centurion was a Roman. Somebody not in the realm of God's people, and he believed in the authority that Jesus had. Now that took some revelation, you see. He didn't look, he didn't have the garb of authority, whatever that garb would be. But anyhow, that was a great faith, so great faith, so that God, the Lord did what he asked. Again, in verse 26, and this is when they're in the boat, I believe, and the waves are rough, storm comes up, and they're crying out for the Lord to save them. And in verse 26, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples were fearful, and he called them, "O ye of little faith." However, you must remember that these disciples that didn't have much faith at this point were going to become the men of faith to go out and spread the gospel after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we happen to be one of these with little faith, don't worry about it so much. But there's a big difference between little faith and great faith. But then also you have to realize that this centurion that had great faith from outside the camp. These were inside the camp, and they were facing things that those outside the camp don't face. So while if you move that one on the outside to the inside, and then he faced all the things that come at you in order to make you become what God wants you to be, faith might not be so great then. Now go to 9. I'll try to hold down my comments so I can get through this in a hurry.
First, oh, you have to do that.
20. See, what is this? Oh, this is the woman with the issue of blood. Verse 20. Behold, a woman which was with the issue of blood touched his garment. If I can just touch his garment, I'll be whole. And in verse 22, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, what I'd like to point out here is the fact that he said, by your faith you're made whole. So people will grab a hold of that, and they'll make great efforts to have great faith. Mm-hmm. That their faith is going to do it. But as we go through this thing, you're going to find out that it's not so much her faith. Her faith worked after he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Until he said that, it may not have happened. See, when he says, it shall be done according to your faith, in that word is the ability for it to be done according to your faith. But without saying that, your faith probably couldn't do it. You follow what I'm saying. All right, that was 22. Now 29. Oh, he healed the blindness of these men. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. There again, those that were blind received their sight, and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. We can't grab a hold of that and say, because of my faith, it's going to happen. Now, it happens when he says, according to your faith. You follow what I'm saying? Now, going down to chapter 14. I think it's important for us to understand that. The Lord's been speaking that kind of thing to me a lot here lately. It's according to what He says. It's not so much according to what we believe. It's according to what He says. When He says, it's according to your belief, then that's when it is. According to your believing comes into the foreplay. But it's according to His Word. Yeah, and Peter begins to sink. Peter trying to walk on the water, he got fearful and he began to sink. And in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto them, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And there's a verse in James that talks about this. Do not doubt. He that doubts is like the waves of the sea, so however it's said. But the doubt mixed with faith. And this is the problem of why we can't always say, well, according to my faith, it's going to be. Because our faith is mixed in with whatever our old nature is. There's doubts in our fleshly nature. And your faith is going to have that mixture. And that's what keeps it from working good. Faith with doubt just don't work. Okay, 15:28. Jesus answered. Oh, this is the Syrophoenician woman, I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that hour. Now, her faith worked because the Lord said it worked. O woman, great is thy faith. What made her faith great? Her faith was made great not by what she did, not by anything she said. Her faith was made great by the Lord saying, great is thy faith. That's what made it great. And be it unto thee even as thou wilt. According to the way you want it, so be it. Now, it happened the way she wanted it to, because the Lord said, according to what you want, that's the way it's going to be. What he says is what makes it work. 17:20. And 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. They said, why couldn't we cast them out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, this needs to be connected with those scriptures on faith where it talks about the doubting and the mixture. Because what about this faith? Where is it found? This faith is called as a grain of mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed is one of the smallest of seeds. Very, very small. But the significant thing about the mustard seed is, it's pure mustard. It's not mixed with something else. It's pure mustard. So when your faith has the same purity that the mustard seed is, then you will be able to say these things and see what you say come to pass. Remove hence. You know, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And almost everything we say doesn't respond. We haven't gotten to the place where that nothing shall be impossible, and whether all things are possible. You know, all things are possible to him that believes. You say, well, I believe, but it's not happening. What's the matter? It's not pure faith yet. It has to be the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Pure faith. In other words, we're talking about a realm where your flesh nature has been dealt with by God and dealt with by God and emptied out until all the doubt is gone. Because it's the doubt that causes the mixture. 21:21. That's the next one. Jesus answered and said unto them. This is when he cursed the fig tree. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not. See? What's he say? Are you going to discipline yourself not to doubt? No, you can't discipline yourself not to doubt. You can accept the work of the cross. You can accept the dealings of God that come to purge out the doubt that's in the flesh nature, you see. It has to be emptied out. We cannot make any advancement in God without there being a corresponding emptying out of our self nature where the doubt lives. Makes sense, don't it? See? If you have faith, and doubt not, it doesn't say. If you have faith, then it happens. But if you have faith and you don't doubt. I've had lots of doubts. I repent for it. You know, we want that pure faith. You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. Let's read another verse on this. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. But I've been asking in prayer and I'm not getting it. Well, you ask in prayer without the doubting. We're talking about another realm, a realm of no doubt. 23, we're getting to the end here. I got my concordance and I just went through Matthew and picked out the verses on faith. 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. That's the same thing saying, woe unto you, religious people. You got your religious duties. You pay tithe, the mint. Oh, you're so exacting. Little mint, little anise seeds, little cumin seeds are so minute. And here you are being so exacting. You pay tithe even of the mint and the anise and the cumin. But you omit the weightier matters of the law, the more important thing, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other done. Religiosity of trying to earn something from God because of what you do in rules and regulations of tithing and so forth. And he said, what's the most important thing? Judgment. And judgment here is talking about being just. You see. Mercy. Have mercy toward others and there'll be mercy toward you. Judgment, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done. And not to leave the other undone. Okay. Now, Galatians 2:20. We'll wrap this thing up. 2:20 and then Habakkuk 2. We're going to have to make some headway. Studying it this way tends to make faith a little difficult to get. But by now we haven't learned that it's difficult to get. We are very slow, you know. It's always been difficult. It's like Tom Hanks. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Of course it's difficult. Walking with God is not easy. Why is it not easy? Because you can't walk with God and maintain your flesh nature. It's sinful, it's corrupt, it has to be brought down. I want to ascend in the things of the Lord to understand them. Okay, God says, I'll bring a lot of circumstances and there's going to be crowding in on you, so they'll kind of push you up. There won't be any answer on the human level. You're going to have to reach up for more faith, reach up for more believing. That's how you get out of the old human level. Because nobody will seek to ascend in the Lord unless things get pretty rough down here. It's when things get hard down here, that's when you're ready, oh, I believe I'll advance in God, so get out of this muck. All right, 2:20. This is Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Now, the only way you can be crucified with Christ is that you are crucified with Him. You die with Him. You experience the same crucifixion that He experienced. That doesn't mean that you hang on a cross, a wooden cross, but does mean that work of the cross that crucifies and brings to death your flesh nature. See, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And you won't live until you become crucified with Christ. Because the living is beyond the crucifixion. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Ooh, the life I live is not my life, it's Christ's life. He's living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. No, I live by the faith. It's not just by faith, it's by the faith. And it's the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave Himself for me. The Scriptures also say that it gives to every man a measure of faith. And a measure of faith is just a measure, some faith. It's not full faith, it's a measure of faith. Measure always speaks of partial, you see. So, He gives us all a measure of faith, and the measure of faith that He gives us is never enough to help in the time of need. So when the pressure is on, and you try to operate your faith, and you find out, oops, not enough. I was reading in one of the Living Word books today, and John was speaking of the time when he was working on Grace Chapel, and I've heard him talk about this on the tapes. And everybody else had gone. He would remain there working by himself. Wham, with the hammer, hit the wrong nail. And he sat down on the bottom step of the ladder and just put his head in and said, God, your boy has run out of faith. And the Lord spoke to him and said, all right, now start using mine. Because you see, that's the way we are. We're not going to use God's faith as long as we can get by using our own faith. That old mixed faith that doesn't work very well, but it makes you feel religious. You know what I'm saying? It has to be His faith. Yeah. And that's what Paul is saying. the life which I live. See, I died. I was crucified with him. Now I'm living. But the life that I'm living is not me. It's him. He lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. He loved me enough to help me get crucified. And he gave his life for me. Gave himself for me. All right, Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. I'm not interested in that part. But the last part of that verse, the just shall live by his faith. And to understand that correctly, you have to capitalize the H in his faith, because it's his faith, not ours. The just shall live by his faith, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we're trying to live by our faith, we're not just, and we're not really living. You see, the just shall live by his faith. So you see, it's from faith to faith. Okay, it's like a ladder that you climb up. You got your bottom ladder is one of those, oh ye of little faith. Kind of don't work. You step up to the next run, and you keep moving up. And it's like Noah's Ark. It's a good example of what our life is really like. God turns to floods of tribulation and awful circumstances and things, and the flooded water just lifts up the ark. So the key is get in the ark. Get in the ark of his faith. Amen.